All right. That was pretty awesome announcements. Good job, guys. Good job, Pastor Larry and Rhonda. That was awesome. Love that. It's always fun when we can laugh, and then it helps us remember, because we got the memo, right? Well, happy Mother's Day. It's so good to see you all today. I'm glad that you got the memo that it is Sunday, right? You woke up, you got here, you got the memo. I'm glad that we got the memo that it's Mother's Day. Hopefully we didn't forget. We have a card for Gran, don't we? Yes, we do, because we remembered. I am excited to be speaking today, and I'm thankful for Todd that he actually tells me this. Now, I know y'all might not want to hear this, but he says, you know, you can speak anytime, just let me know. But I don't take him up on that just because, anyway, I like to hear him speak. But I do like to share from time to time, and so I'm excited for today. And, you know, Mother's Day, when I think of Mother's Day, I think of, you know, just a lot of emotions kind of come. They're happy ones. But I also, for a lot of years, I've had close friends that had some struggles with having kids. And so it's always kind of a tender spot in my heart to those that are still longing to be mothers. And, you know, then I think of the mothers that maybe there's some sad times with Mother's Day, that maybe you don't have your mother around anymore, or maybe you're a mom and you are estranged from your kids, or your kids are away from God. So sometimes Mother's Day kind of brings up a lot of happy moments, but there are sometimes some tears, some sad moments. So before we even get started today, I just kind of wanted to tell you all that we love you, that even those that have had some tears this morning, and that you're loved in this place. And I want to just say a prayer. Is Keisha in here? You know, this is her first Mother's Day as a mother, right? And there have been, we can celebrate, and it's really, really neat. My sister is kind of in the same boat. This is her first year as a mother, and there were a lot of Mother's Days that were kind of hard for them, but we're just thankful that the Lord blessed them with a baby, let's have prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank you that you created our inmost being. You knit us together in our mother's womb. As your word says in Psalm 139, we thank you, Lord, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that all the days were ordained for us before one of them came to be, Lord. We thank you that you've brought us all here today. We thank you for our mothers. Regardless of our situation today, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for the love that many of them showed to us. We thank you for our grandmothers, our mothers-in-law, our great-grandmothers, just all of the women in our lives that have poured into us so much. And Lord, I just pray for those today that may be heavy-hearted, maybe have some sadness today. Lord, I just pray that you would replace their mourning and their sorrow and their sadness with your joy, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Well, how many of you have ever not gotten the memo? Has anybody ever not gotten the memo? Oh, man, that's kind of embarrassing. Sometimes we do get the memo. Just a few weeks ago, I don't know if Shayna is here. I don't see her, but her little boy looks up at me, and Amy McDowell was standing next to me, and he goes, "Y'all look alike." And I looked at her, and I was like, "Oh, our hair is just alike. Oh, we're wearing our OFA shirts. We do look alike. Hey, let's take a picture." And so we had to take a little selfie real fast. It was like, "Oh, we got the memo." There have been times that I haven't gotten the memo, though. Or actually, I think they just didn't get the memo. I was at this ladies' retreat, and it was ladies' in ministry retreat. I was with my sister-in-law, my sister, my mom, and we're all going to be here together. This is the only year we're going to all be together. I didn't remember to take a picture on Friday night when we were all dressed up. But Saturdays, I'm a teacher, and Saturdays, it is against the law to dress up on Saturday, in my opinion. I want to wear my jeans. jeans and my tennis shoes. So there I was at the ladies' retreat in my jeans and my tennis shoes and my OFA shirt, and everybody else is dressed up, and I'm like, and this is the day that we choose to take a picture, of course. So it looks like I'm the one that did not get the memo, but honestly, I think they just didn't get the memo. But anyway, that's all right. So sometimes we just don't get the memo. Now, I was thinking back. There are many times that I haven't gotten the memo, but I have to tell you this one story that sticks out in my mind. There are a few of you that might remember Brother J.W. Farmer, who was our district superintendent whenever I was a kid. And every week at camp, at church camp, he would come and you know, come to one of the services. And I remember this one day, it was Thursday, and it was River Day. And we were going to go down to the river, and we were going to cook out hot dogs. Sometimes we'd do tug of war. I mean, it was messy. You did not wear your best. And I remember Brother Farmer coming in that day, and he was in a three-piece white suit. And I panicked. I thought, oh, dear. And I remember him going down to the river and walking across the wood to get across. And I thought, oh, no, this is going to be a really bad disaster because we're not real well-behaved down here at the river. So anyway, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe he just wanted a new suit. I don't know. But he was a good sport, and he came anyway. Sometimes we may think that we're just gullible all the times I didn't get the memo, but, you know, there are many times nowadays that it's not just the memo in our box that we don't get. It's our Facebook messages or our text messages, our social media, our emails. I'm wondering, does anybody, like, have to clear all your notifications? Or any of y'all that, I mean, you cannot have notifications on your phone. Okay, good for y'all. Is anybody, like, not that way, and you don't even realize that you have a million notifications? Okay, look on, if you have a phone on you, would you look and see, like, how many notifications you have? See if you have a lot of notifications. If y'all want to look at mine from this week, this was my notifications one day. Todd just got me a new phone, and so I don't have it now. But look at my emails. 10,938 unread emails. Can anybody beat that? You can beat it? Awesome. Or my text messages, 21 unread text messages. Sorry, guys, if I missed your text message. It wasn't on purpose. It really wasn't. Don't feel like you're the only one, right? Or my phone messages. Does anybody have a lot of unread messages? Anybody? I have a gift for you if you do. How many do you have? You don't know, but you have a lot. Huh? Lots and lots. Okay, Elizabeth, come here. I want to give you something. Okay. Since she doesn't always get the memo, I want to give her a memo pad. Okay. Says, don't forget to be awesome, which you won't because you're awesome. So. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else want to admit? Any other lady want to admit that you have a lot of unread messages? How about a stack of mail that hasn't been gone through? Anybody want to admit that? Okay, come on, Cass. Okay, Cass has a bunch of mail that she hasn't gone through. Say that again. So it's a note to selfie. I think it has. It's even on. It'll go on your refrigerator. So that'll be nice. Anybody else want to admit that you have a lot of messages that you haven't read? Or how about text messages that you forget to respond to? Anybody do that? Let's see. You know what? I just remembered I was going to say something about you today. I'm going to have to do that in a second. Anybody else want a memo pad? Okay, come on, Angelica. Oh, her brother and her husband are pointing to her. What does that mean? My husband used to say that. Why, he doesn't know why I have a phone. Because I wouldn't always respond. Okay, I got to take the price tag off. I'm sorry. Kaylee was helping me. I guess she missed this one. Okay. All right, so what were they waiting for? She forgets to reply to messages. Awesome. All right, let's give it up for them. That's awesome. So sometimes we don't get the memos, and it's not always on purpose. Actually, it usually isn't on purpose. A lot of times for me, I'll see a message, and I'll be at school, and in my mind, I'm thinking, like, I respond in my mind. You can show that next slide, if it's there. In my mind, I replied, and then later, do you know? Oh, that's okay. Have you seen that picture? It says that I'm sorry that you didn't get my message. I replied in my mind, but apparently I never actually did it. So sometimes that happens. I'll be like, oh man! And actually, that happened just this week. I was like, why didn't they? They didn't reply. And then I looked and realized, oh, I never sent the message. Apparently, that's, you know. Anybody admit that they do that sometimes? Okay. Yes. Okay. Now, recently, I started getting these crazy notifications, like, on my Facebook. Tons of them, like, from people I never see. Like, I saw every single post that they did. I was getting notifications on everything. Now, that's annoying, right? Because then you miss everything that's really important, because it's like, I have to see every single post that my cousin, that I've only seen once in the last 30 years, I'm seeing every single notification that he makes, and I'm like, oh my goodness, so I'm trying to figure this out. So if I didn't see, like, a friend had a wreck and I didn't even know it because I had all these crazy, crazy memos or notifications. But I will tell you that there have been some letters that I did not treat like that. When I was in high school, we wrote letters. Anybody used to write letters, right? We used to write letters whenever I was a kid, because we didn't have email. I know, we survived, it's crazy. And so we would write letters, and man, I loved getting those letters. Those don't hold a candle, though, to whenever I started getting letters from Todd. I lived in El Paso when we first started dating, and so we started writing letters, and sometimes, well, at least one time, I sent a letter that was too heavy for the postage. And so he had to actually go pay the extra postage so he could get my letter. But he did, right? Because he wanted that letter. So, you know, whenever we get something of value like that, we're like, oh, we hang on to every word. We want to read it. And the way I read those letters, I mean, I would read it. I'm sure I just had to make sure I read every single word. I read it over and over again. And then I responded to it. I didn't forget to send that letter. Oh, no. Oh, no, I made sure that got to him. I would save those letters. Does anybody have letters that you've saved or cards? I bet we have some letters that we've saved. Those are really special. Those are words that we actually wrote, we actually put time into, and it meant something to us. We didn't treat it like we do Facebook and just scroll on down and just see and like, you know. No, I mean, we really, really paid attention to that. Well, there's a memo that we're definitely not going to want to miss, and the letter, and that's the Word of God. That's the greatest memo. But I'm going to pause real fast because I have to say this. Kason, can I come down? Would you tell what happened to you this Wednesday night? Can I come? Would you do that, or will you be too embarrassed? What happened?
Oh, I spoke in tongues.
Kason got filled in the Holy Spirit this week on Wednesday, and also Ethan also got filled in the Holy Spirit on Wednesday night during our youth service. Isn't that awesome? What a Mother's Day gift. What a Mother's Day gift. Yeah. Not for you, for your mama. And your great-grandma and grandparents. I forgot I was going to mention that. We're so thankful for Pastor Chris and Cassandra, too, that it's leading our youth, and that's exciting. They thought, I think it was Charmin that said, oh no, it's only his second week and his mom's being called out. What's, oh no, what happened? And it was something amazing like that. So, well, we're going to get into the Word of God because that is the memo we do not ever want to miss. We don't want to treat it like we do our social media and our junk mail. But this scripture just has really spoken to my heart this just recently. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and then we're going to skip over to 3, 14 to 17. This is a really beautiful picture to me for Mother's Day. Paul is writing to Timothy, who is his spiritual son, or one of his spiritual sons. And starting in verse 5, it says, I remember your genuine faith, for you shared the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know the same faith continues strong in you. And then skipping over to chapter 3, verse 14, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. These scriptures tell us so much about the life of Timothy and the reason he was who he was. He had a grandma who had instilled the word of God in his mother and then into him. And to me, Paul is taking a moment just to honor that grandma and that mom, and just for their faith in the Lord that they took the time. You know, it doesn't say that they just sent him to church. I mean, it doesn't say that, you know, just send him on Wednesday nights, but actually they instilled that in him, or the synagogue, where it was that they went. But what a tribute to them, because Grandma Lois definitely got the memo. She got the word of God, and she must have taught it and passed it on from the time that Timothy was just a little boy. And they taught the scriptures. Then those scriptures gave him the wisdom that they could receive salvation. So that tells me that as I'm teaching the word of God to my kids or to people around me, that it's giving them the wisdom so that they can receive salvation. The scriptures would be used to teach truth, to show them what was wrong, and to prepare and equip for every good work. So, how did they do it? How did they get the memo? How did they pass this along? You know, the grandma was the first one, and she must have gotten a hold of the Word of God. She must have been taught. Somebody taught her. I don't know, but all we know is that it started with somebody. It started with grandma. And when I think of my life, I think of my grandmas, both of my grandparents, or both of my grandmothers, were very godly women. And so many things that my mom taught me are things that her mom taught her. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but okay, so how do we get the memo? How are we going to get the memo? Well, we get the memo by opening it up and reading it. So whenever we get the memo, this is the Word of God. It's got to start with someone. You may not be able to say that your grandma taught you or that your mom taught you. You may be the first generation in this. This may be the first one, but you get to be Grandma Lois or Grandma. Let's see, yeah, is it Grandma? Yes, Grandma Lois. You may be Mama Eunice that gets to start this process and start teaching your children and teaching those around you. We can't read it unless we open it up. I can't see the whole text until I click on it. Have you ever thought you saw the whole message? And you're like, oh, so you think you got the whole thing and then you click later and you're like, oh man, there was stuff after that, oops. Well, whenever we get into the Word of God, we have to realize that there is more to it than just the heading, you know? I mean, there's a whole lot more to it that we can really get. We start seeing the love and the love of Jesus, the greatest story that there ever has been. And I like to reread it. So sometimes I'll be reading the scripture, I'll be listening to it, and I'll be like, wait a second, is that really there? And I've read it many times, but sometimes it just kind of hits you in a different way, and so you have to go back and reread it, more so than whenever I would reread those love letters from Todd. So it takes some time to get it into our heart. And so here's some of the ways that we can, to me, we can get it into our hearts. And you can use the Bible app. There's really no excuse in today's day and time for us to not get the Word of God into our lives. There are so many ways. Now, this, to me, is, even though I love media, sometimes this is the best way because then we don't get distracted. But you still, if you have a phone, you usually have it at your fingertips, available to you. So you might be an auditory learner. You may be one that likes to listen to it. I love to listen to the New Living Translation on my Bible app, on YouVersion. I love that. So I'll just be listening to it while I'm getting ready or driving, wherever. And note-taking. Now, I'm learning this from Rhonda. Rhonda is amazing with this. She, I actually have a journaling Bible so I can kind of make notes on the side. I never even really knew that existed until Sister Rhonda kind of brought it to our attention. And so she actually has a way of, like, she does note-taking, and then she'll take something that she's learned or a scripture that just kind of hits her, and she'll go and do, like, a whole journal entry, like her art. So she takes the scripture and turns it into art. And so I'm not an artist. What I love about the journals is that you can close that book and set it aside, because things that have to hang up on the wall just don't get hung up for me, because I'm just not quite there. But that journal, when I can just paint or write and kind of be artistic with it and just focus on those words like, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I love that. Just, he restores my soul. And you're doing a whole page on just, he restores my soul. I mean, those words just get into you. They just become who you are, become part of you. So I encourage you, if you have not taken the Bible journaling class or something with Sister Rhonda, we need to do that again, because I love that. So she's a great example for that. I actually took that, and I've taken it to my fourth graders. So we've been doing that. In fourth grade, they're doing their own Bible journal. It's not as maybe not as in-depth, but they're learning God's Word that way, too, by meditating on it and creating the art. So another thing we have to do, so that's how we can get it into our heart. You know, another way, to me, that we can get the right memo is by determining what's the junk mail and what's not the junk mail. I'm actually, since my email, when I saw, I took a screenshot and I was like, actually when I started this whole process, it was like 11,000 something. So I've been kind of on a mission to unsubscribe from all these emails, because a lot of it is just junk mail. I mean, I don't need 5 emails a day telling me how to get organized. Because I'm not going to read them all. I just give me one, or give me something to start on, okay? So I've been trying to, get rid of some of these emails that I'm getting so I can kind of get rid of the junk, because sometimes I miss the real ones. I miss the really good messages. Same thing with our stack of mail that says, you've been pre-selected, you know? I mean, we get all this junk mail, but we have to be able to sort through and determine what is junk. Because we are getting a lot of junk in our lives, aren't we? That's coming toward us, that is not what we need to listen to. When we listen to it so long, sometimes we don't even know when the good stuff is hitting us, like the Word of God. But when we realize the real memo, the truth of God's Word, then everything else just doesn't hold a candle when we figure out the truth. When we get the memo, we pass it along. Now, I have a friend, my teacher that's next door to me, we share like a hallway. And so she's always making sure I get the memo. She's like, now, do you know? And it's so sweet. I love it because she just always wants to make sure that I get the memo. And because sometimes I don't. sometimes I forget things. Recently, Shaylee got to do a speech for the ECISD, the volunteer banquet. And so we got the memo. But apparently it was a little dark whenever we read it because we didn't see the light green that said RSVP. And so I set it aside. I told Todd, here it is. And that morning we realized we were supposed to RSVP. And so what did we do? We crashed Mike's table and sat with them. And so anyway, that was not in the notes there. But But when we really get the memo, we do pass it along. When something changes us, like whenever we take something to heart like we do when we're Bible journaling or when we really get it into our lives, it becomes who we are. It changes everything. And we can't help but tell people. And this was a really neat thing not too long ago. Shaylee was kind of going through just some rough stuff, just having a hard day. And so Todd and I had talked to her at different times, just kind of sharing some wisdom about the situation to kind of help her through it. And at the end, I'm sorry, Shaylee, she doesn't cry a lot, but there were tears. She said, I'm so thankful for Gran and Grandmama right now. She said, because everything that y'all just told me is what Gran and Grandmama told you. And that just really hit my heart because it's true. It's true. All of the things that Todd had just told her about dealing with that situation were things that his mom had taught him. And the same thing with my mom, just teaching me of how to deal with situations. So let's bring it kind of all together. I have just been thinking, you know, if we get the memo, if we really realize the truths of God's word and it becomes part of us, then we're going to have a scripture for everything. I don't know, some of you may have a song for everything, or is anybody else like that? Do you have a song for everything? Yes, me. Yes, I have a song for everything because I know a bazillion songs because from my childhood, I mean, you say butterfly, and I'm going to start thinking of, if I were a butterfly, thank you, Lord, forgive. I mean, there's just all these songs that come to my mind. But even better than having a song for everything is to have a scripture for everything. Because if that becomes our go-to in realizing, okay, this may be what the world says, but I know what the Bible says, and that's the memo I'm going to listen to. So we've got some junk mail. And then we've got the Word of God. And we're going to decide which one we're going to take. The mail that says I've been pre-selected for some credit card, see, that's junk. But I got the memo that says that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. That's 1 Thessalonians 1:4. He's chosen you. You're not just pre-selected, right? I get an email that says to send this flashing rose to 10 people, and I'll have something good happen to me today. But I got the memo that says in Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You get a memo that says you'll never get away from your family history of trouble, but you got the memo that says that your future is a new bloodline because Romans 8:15 to 18 says you've been adopted by God himself, and you've been made an heir with Christ. Amen. You may have gotten the memo that the future isn't looking too good, that life is hard, but that was junk mail because you got the memo and Jeremiah 29:11 says that the Lord has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You got a memo that says your family will never come to Christ, but you're like my mother-in-law who hung on to the scripture in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. or my grandma, whose husband was away from God, who declared over and over, Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And both of those saw that come into fruition. We've got the memo. You may have gotten the memo that says you're going to always be alone, but you decided that was junk mail because you got the real memo from Jesus in Matthew 28:20 that says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You may have gotten a notification about your health. Maybe it says that you're going to live with this for the rest of your life. But you decided to ignore that because you got the memo in 1 Peter 2:24 that says, by his stripes we are healed. Amen. I've had a few memos that wanted to send me some awful viruses. If you click on this, you usually are going to get a virus, like offense, bitterness, hatred. But I got the memo and decided to block that sender. Mail rejected, report. He can't even mess with me anymore because it says in Colossians 3:13, make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember that the Lord forgave you, so you must also forgive others. I got a notification that said I needed to get back at the person who hurt me. They don't deserve me to be nice to them. They don't deserve goodness. But I got the memo that I chose to accept in Psalm 37 that says to not fret when evil men succeed in their ways and they carry out their schemes, but to depart from evil and do good and watch my righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of my cause like the noonday sun. We could go on and on because the world gives us a set of memos. They tell us to take it and believe it and accept it and receive it. But we can get the memo that is greater. This memo has the authority. Our words can be meaningless, but the word of God, you can take it to the bank, so to speak. You know that you can receive this word and it will change your life. It will change your family's lives and you can change your history. And I was thinking about Sister McCandless. I know she's not here today, but that's Tennille's grandma. And she would say that her parents would say to stay in the ship. Do you remember that? Have you heard that? You've probably all heard that. Anybody in the family, anybody that's heard them very long would say, hear her say, stay in the ship. And what she was talking about is in church, you know, we have this, you know, we might want to just hop from place to place. Her parents taught her to stay in the ship because there's safety instead of just hopping from place to place. Those words that are spoken, those words of wisdom, those words from the Lord, the scriptures that we pass along to people around us are life-changing, and they stick with us. My grandma, on my mom's side, I didn't really get to know her. I was only 11 months old when she passed away. But we have her testimony of when she gave her heart to the, or when her husband gave her heart to the, his heart to the Lord, and just so many words of wisdom that she's passed along. She passed along to my mom, and my mom had a scripture for everything, and she still does. She has a scripture for everything. A lot of that is because her mom taught her, and now I'm getting to teach. It's kind of funny, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall, I'm my mother after all. Have y'all heard that? you know, many are kind of starting fresh with this. Some of you may not have had that opportunity to have someone in your life to speak truth to you. But you get to start this. And actually, when you come and you connect with people in the church, when you get close to, they become your family too. And my grandma, her family kind of, when she got filled in the Holy Spirit, a lot of her family kind of shunned her, I guess you'd say. And so she didn't have her family there anymore. But she had her best friends, like I guess Willie D. Good was one of her best friends, and Sister Fielding would pray for all of her family. She had these close friends in church that became her family. And they were very, very close. So that's, you know, something that you can have here. When you come and you get close to people in the church, we're going to speak truth. We're going to speak life. We're going to tell you the word of God. Sometimes it's to correct. Sometimes it's to encourage us each other. But that's something that we can do to kind of change the course. But I'm gonna ask Audrey and Amanda, whoever, to come. We're gonna close in just a minute. You know, I know it almost sounds like a Sunday school answer to say, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. That was a song we used to sing, but it still all comes back down to that the Word of God does change our lives. That when we choose to listen to what the Word of God says over what the enemy and what the world tells us, it's life-changing. And one of the things that I guess kind of got this train of thought a while back, I was thinking, you know, how sometimes I think women kind of get a bad rap, you know? I mean, when you hear the quotes like, you can't live with them, you can't live without them, right? You know, those kind of quotes. Or if somebody says, I work with a bunch of women, is that usually positive or negative? I mean, you don't usually say, oh, that's awesome, wow, congratulations. They don't usually say that, do they? No. Maybe my mother-in-law's coming. You know, sometimes that might be somebody might think a negative thing, but when I read the Word of God, I hear about Ruth and Naomi and how even when the husband passed away, they wanted to stay close because they were like family. And she chose her mother-in-law over staying back with her people instead of going back to her people. When I hear, you know, the negative connotation about, you know, the wife or whatever, or the ball and chain, and, you know, I read the Word of God, and it says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing, and he's blessed. I mean, wow, that's the Word of God, right? I mean, it's good. When I read the New Testament and I see women in the Bible in the New Testament, they were always helping people. They were always giving to others. They were always helping the ministers. I mean, they were doing all of these kinds of things. They were good. They brought good. So, you know, I think sometimes we get a bad rap because people aren't getting the memo. Right? They just didn't get the memo, because the memo, the way God chose for women to be, is a breath of fresh air, to be life, to be godly examples, to be helping each other and to encouraging each other. And so, you know, sometimes it's going against the grain, going a little against the culture to be that person that's being the blessing, that's being the one, that's being the encourager, and not giving in to all the gossip and all the backbiting and all that kind of stuff. We don't have to be that way. I mean, you may work with a bunch of women, and you can be the one that everybody says, you're not like the rest of these people here. They will take notice. They really will. They'll take notice. And even greater than that, there are people behind you that are following in your footsteps. You don't even realize sometimes that they're doing exactly what you're doing. They're doing exactly everything that we're doing. They're just mimicking everything that we do. Sometimes that's not good, but hey, we're working on it, right? So I'm going to ask you to stand. Maybe when you think of getting the memo, maybe that'll jog your memory to always consult the Word of God. Don't listen to what the enemy and the culture wants to put on us and say we are and label us. because God has so much greater. God has so much greater. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you're not just a stay-at-home mom. You work. I mean, you know, you're not less than. You're chosen of God. You're doing an awesome thing right now. If you're working, whatever you're doing has value as we're staying in the Lord. I want to pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, oh God. We thank you for just the privilege that we have, that we can have the whole word of God. I know there are people in many countries that don't even have access to the full word of God. They have to just go by what each other is saying and what they hear about it. And some don't even have that. But we're so thankful that we have your word. Lord, we thank you that your word changes lives. And God, we ask you that you would just encourage us, that we would be encouraged today to go against the grain, to go against the culture, to go against the world's memos, the world's labels, and that we would take on the word of God and let it change our lives. Let it change our families' lives. That we would be diligent to pass this on. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes I remember talking to someone one time, and she said, you know, I didn't have a mom to tell me these things. I don't feel like I have anybody. And so I want to encourage you that if you don't feel like you have anybody, seek somebody out. There are a lot of godly ladies in this place, and sometimes we feel like we don't have anything to give. I mean, it took me some really, you know, there's a scripture that says for the older women to teach the younger women, and I didn't want to, I guess, admit that I was one of those older ones sometimes, but I don't know. But sometimes in the faith, we may be older in the faith even than somebody who's older than us. And sometimes we have to seek someone out, whether it's raising our kids or in Titus, it says, teach the younger women to love their husbands and to there are a lot of things in Titus. Actually, I think I have that. To teach them to love and respect their husbands and to not be given to gossip and just all of these things. Sometimes you need somebody just to tell you, hey, for you to ask, what do I do? I mean, maybe you're struggling in your marriage. I guarantee there's somebody here that's gone through the same thing. I mean, you can seek someone out in this place, and they may not have the answers, but we can seek someone out that does, or we can seek the word together. I may not have the scripture at the moment. You may tell me what you're going through, and I might have to wait a second. We may have to get on our phone and Google and find that scripture, find something to stand on. And those of you, and this is not just for women, this is for all of us. Those of you that have been in the faith for a while, maybe it's time that we take somebody else under our arm, in our wing, and say, you can do this. This is livable. This is possible. You can live a victorious Christian life. You can live for the Lord. You can have kids that are going to serve the Lord. It is possible. You can, yeah, it gets messy sometimes, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And so I want to encourage you right now, find somebody that you can pour into. It may not be somebody that's here, but if you feel alone and you feel like you kind of could use an extra hand in this journey, then there are people here that want to be there on that journey with you.